The Accidental Entrepreneur is brought to you through our affiliate relationships with the following sponsors: Digital Accelerant, the digital mobile business card that generates leads. Text the word LAW to 21,000 to get connected and learn how to get your own digital business card. And by Fetch Internet and Fetch Pro, the secure, high-speed app that eliminates the need to pay for hotspots or use public unsecure Wi-Fi. And Printify, the online, on-demand print shop for all your corporate merchandise. Be sure to visit our online store and get your own podcast merch. Listen to all of our sponsors' commercials later in this episode and follow their links in the show notes to learn more about their products and services.
Right, I've heard that before. Yeah, right, yeah. Repeat the name.
And listen, so what do I mean by that? Well, there's two ways you can handle this. My name's Matthew. Your name, Mitch.
They go, what the hell's wrong with that guy? Right.
Just so you're clear on that. Better. My name's Matthew. Your name, Mitch. Mitch, I understand you practice law. Oh, you do corporate stuff? Mitch, I know you're writing a book about the mistakes that you can make when you're doing this sort of stuff. If you could give me one key, Mitch, what do you think it would be? So what did I do?
Said my name three times.
About five times.
Truth. Click my heels together. And then, so now you're burning it into your head.
No weirdness. No Mitch.
Right.
Use the name in conversation. This does two things. One, it's neuromuscular. When you speak, your vocal cords vibrate. Those vibrations hit your hard palate and directly stimulate your mind and your memory. Speaking the information will put it in your memory. Two, and this tends more to the interpersonal aspect of this whole thing.
Right.
Forgetting a person's name isn't just like a memory lapse. It's a faux pas. It's an interpersonal thing.
Oh, it's very uncomfortable. I run into people all the time and they'll be like, hey, Mitch. I'd be like, hey, good to see you. Like, I don't, like, I'd be like, I think his name's Matt, but I don't trust myself. And I'm going to look like an idiot if I call him Randy.
Yeah.
So
it's an interpersonal thing. So with this technique, focus and repeat, you're doing two things. One, you're grabbing a hold of the person's name. Two, Dale Carnegie, sweetest sound to a person is their own name. Sweetest sound in the English language to a
person. Right. It builds rapport just by saying your name. That's why good salespeople say that your name a lot.
Exactly.
The information provided in these episodes is for entertainment purposes only. It is not a guarantee of success or to be construed as advice of any kind. You should always seek advice from local licensed professionals before making any decisions.
The dictionary defines an entrepreneur as a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. People often start a business without much choice, perhaps due to a job loss or just being dissatisfied at work, and they come up with an idea they just know can be successful. They become entrepreneurs by accident. That is to say, their success or failure happens by accident, not with intention. My name is Mitch Beinhacker. I'm a corporate attorney and a business advisor. You're listening to The Accidental Entrepreneur, my podcast about how to achieve success on purpose, not by accident. Join me along with our monthly guests where we share our knowledge and help you get a hold of your business. And now on to today's episode. Just to remind you, the podcast is produced and brought to you by my legal practice, Beinhacker Law. We provide business and estate services to entrepreneurs, inventors, and other small business owners. Whether you're just getting started or you've been operating for a long time, contact us for all your general legal needs, from contracts to client agreements, from purchasing a new location to onboarding a new partner or key employee. We draft all types of agreements and handle most business transactions. For more information about our products and services, visit beinhackerlaw.com or you can follow our link in the show notes. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed today's interview.
Good. Hey, everyone. My name's Matt Girk. I have a company called Great Memories and a program called The Memory Switch. And what I do is travel throughout the country teaching individuals like yourselves how to develop an instant recall memory. And this is for facts and information that are important and pertinent to the specific situations and circumstances that you're going to find yourself in each day.
All right, Matt. So thanks for coming on the podcast. Thanks for indulging me and helping me with the book that I'm working on with Barry. Mm-hmm. Hopefully by the time this episode comes out, the book may actually be available, which will be
awesome.
Which will be nice. We had talked off mic. What I'd like you to do, maybe if you can go into your background, where you're from, you know, what your training was, where you went to school, and then how you got into, you're really in the business of making people's memories better. So, you know, how you got into that. And then we could talk about that, because that's a big issue that I speak about. Well, I don't speak about memory, but I speak about the fact that people's memories don't work well. That's why they need all their business stuff in writing. So we'll get to that at the end of, nearer the end of the episode. Does that all make sense?
It makes sense to me. Sure.
Okay.
Listen, Matthew Girk, I'm a Jersey guy, born and bred, grew up in Essex County, went to school down at WVU, go Mounties.
Okay. And,
yeah.
Huntington, right?
Morgantown.
Morgantown, West Virginia. Yeah. Okay.
Got a degree in fine arts, put myself through school, waited tables, worked in the hotel business.
Okay.
And after I graduated, I realized that's pretty much what I knew how to do. So, right.
I kind
of morphed. I came back to Jersey, got into the hotel business. I discovered that at least on my part, was a fairly miserable way to make a living. I mean, you worked way too hard for somebody else and didn't make anywhere near the money that I would have liked.
Right.
And, so I was kind of actively looking for something to do. And what I ultimately did was, you know, just kind of put down a list of what my ideal dream job would look like.
And this was like what, mid-20s, late-20s?
Yeah, I'm mid-20s at that point.
Okay.
Heading more towards 30. You know?
Okay.
I was kind of on a 6-year plan going down to WVU.
Right.
What I realized when I looked at my, you know, dream job is it didn't exist. There was no such animal.
Well, do you remember like what your criteria was?
Well, yeah. I mean,
you're the memory guy, so you should remember everything, right?
Not back then. Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to work with people. I wanted to have an opportunity to travel some. I like teaching, but I didn't see myself as a grammar school teacher or working with kids necessarily.
Right.
Something in the corporate realm, but I didn't want to necessarily sit at a desk. And I had my name out with a couple of headhunters, but nothing really big coming. And at one point, someone came into one of the properties where I was working, teaching memory. And
okay.
I was absolutely intrigued. You know, I had the same response that most people do. You can't teach memory. You've got a good one or you got a bad one, or it's good for some things, not good for others. You know, some days the mojo's flowing, you're like sharp as a tack. Next day, thank God you got a name tag. You know, it was
right.
It was here or there, and there really wasn't much you could do about it.
A lot of people think that still, that you can't improve memory.
Absolutely.
I find that hard to believe. I mean, you have your mind is an organ, right? And we know that if you put the wrong things in, you get a headache and things. So there's got to be a way to improve your memory.
Well, yeah. And you would think that it would be, you know, kind of top of mind for most people, especially
yeah.
I mean, as a student. You
right.
know, it's all about recalling answers for tests. And yet for most people, it just never occurs to them. But you're right. You're trained at your job. You're trained how to use a computer, how to drive a car. You're trained to do everything.
Right. But you remember.
We have this wonderful ability. You know, recalling information, and we do have a wonderful natural ability, but most people never think that, hey, this is a skill set that can be improved. So
right.
This gentleman said to me, you know, what are your issues with memory? And I went through the litany, you know, I'm terrible with names. I don't know where I put my car keys, my list of things to do.
Right.
And he said, you know what, sit in my workshop and I guarantee by the time we're done, you'll see an improvement in your ability.
Now this workshop was going to be one day?
Yeah, this was just a one-day workshop.
Okay.
You know, and I said to him, I said, if you can improve me, I'll quit what I'm doing and I'll do what you do. And that
come to work for him.
Yeah. Well, I'll just do what you do. You
okay.
know, whether that working for him was necessarily going to be an issue, a possibility, I didn't know.
Okay.
But, you know, I said it jokingly, honestly.
Right.
Because I assumed.
Well, you didn't believe him.
Well, yeah. And, right. you know, that was over 25 years ago.
Okay.
And I've been involved in the whole personal improvement field ever since. I sat there, I learned some simple strategies, and this was all first generation stuff. There was nothing real cutting edge about what he was teaching.
Right.
But I saw myself improve like instantly. And I said, this is the job I've been looking for. You know, then began the process of making a business out of it for myself. And,
right.
You know, bringing in more cutting edge techniques, looking at the science, looking at the new neuroscience, neurobiology that became available. And that's where I find myself, gosh, 25 plus years later.
Oh, so I thought you were going to tell me you've been in this business and then you tried in this business and this career and then you stumbled along memory and then here we are. But you've really done this almost your entire career.
This has been what I do. I am America's memory expert, and I'm blessed by what I do. I get to see people succeed every single day.
Yeah.
And I've proven to hundreds of thousands of people there's no such thing as a good or a bad memory, just a trained or untrained one. You can do better at this.
Yeah, because you find, you ever do things like you read something or you hear something, you swear that it said this or you heard this, and then when you listen to it again or you see it or somebody points it out to you, it's not even like, it's like your mind changed the word or something, because you just get confused, right?
Memory, especially recalling information,
it tends
to get very subjective, and you do. And that's one of the problems, and you know, as a lawyer with long-term, I always laugh on Dateline when they ask, well, you know, the police came and interviewed me. Where were you June 27th? Well, this June 27th? No, 4 years ago.
Right. I mean, come on. The whole thing's well, that's one of the problems. And I know we're jumping ahead of ourselves, but the law treats you like you can recall anything and you got a computer in your head. You must be an idiot or lying if you don't. But the reality of it is that's very difficult. It's very easy to discredit a witness. It's very easy to confuse somebody on a deposition. And then what they do is they'll give the deposition and then they'll be in trial 4 years later and they'll be asking them the same questions. They'll give different answers and they'll be like, well, Matt, you said this 4 years ago. And you're like, I did? No way. That's not right. And you're all confused. And now you have no credibility with the jury because they think that maybe they can't remember things, but obviously you're a witness, so you have to remember everything. They shouldn't even allow witness testimony unless it's recorded like right as something happens in court, because it's so easy to discredit and confuse people. But I wanted to ask you a business question though. So you're back here, you're in your, you know, mid to late 20s. You may have had some business training in school, you worked in hotels or whatever. How did you get started? Did you write a business plan? I mean, it wasn't like you had like a big capital investment in this, but
no.
What was your business plan? Like, how are you going to do this?
Well, first off, as it turns out, I did end up working with that gentleman that introduced me to the whole field.
Okay.
Back then we would kind of go into a city and kind of blitz the city. And there were certain types of industries. Now this is professional training. This is dealing with professionals for the most part. So,
like executives, you're dealing with corporations and stuff.
Yeah. So whether it's the insurance industry, finance.
Right. He wasn't renting out a room in a hotel and putting out a flyer and saying, hey, anybody wants to learn about memory? It was corporate.
It was corporate stuff.
Yeah, it's probably more stable.
Although we did open seminars, but it was always geared towards a corporate audience.
Okay.
So I started working there. I got the training and experience that I needed to actually do this. Obviously, the skill set involved with this type of thing is different. Because you have to be the product. You can't just go in there and say, I can make your memory better. You have to prove that you can do this stuff. So
yeah, I mean, you have to demonstrate it.
Yeah.
To the group, make them believers, right?
I can remember all your names. I can remember this random list of items, you know,
right?
And I can show you how to get better in a very short period of time. So there was that skill. So learned the skill set, worked with the group. But I realized that ultimately, like everything else, I wanted more control over my end of the business. And so I split with that group. I went out on my own. You know, I get a lot of people who ask me, well, you know, you've made a living as a speaker for 25 plus years.
Yeah.
How do you get started? And I tell them all the same thing. Two things you need. You need to speak every opportunity you have, even if you're doing it for free in the beginning.
Right.
And you have to have a product. You have to have something to offer.
A hook. Right, exactly.
You know, I've been blessed. I've shared a stage with people like Zig Ziglar. I work with Nightingale Conant, so, you know, Brian Tracy.
Right. All the great ones.
Some really well-known speakers.
Right.
But to get to that point where someone's just going to pay you a ton of money to come out and speak, you got to have some credits.
You know? Right. But you don't have a crowded industry. Like, how many guys are out there teaching memory? I mean, I told you the only other guy I remember who was on TV was Kevin Trudeau, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I don't know of any other memory guys, you and him.
Yeah, there's a couple out there. Most of it is usually more of a personal improvement,
motivational
type stuff. So, it's a fairly small group of people who just do memory, but I'm all right with that. We'll keep up.
Well, no, I mean, it's a good example of, right? If you have a good, forget about the presentation. You have a good presentation, but if you have a good topic, interesting topic, something that people don't know a lot about, they're intrigued by, much easier to get appointments. You know, you talk about, you say, I'm a business coach. They're like, great, I know 1,400 of them.
Yeah. It's true. And the great thing about memory is there isn't anybody who doesn't need a better memory. It's not like,
right.
Yeah. And when I go into a group, I'll work with every level. You know, I'll be in with a training director and he'll ask, you know, who would benefit from this training in the group? I said, well, the person who answers the phone and the CEO and everybody in between, because
of course,
this is a powerful personal and professional skill. When you have the information you need at your mental fingertips, it's going to make you better at everything you do.
Right.
So I have that going for me. And there's a professional appeal, obviously, but when it comes to memory, there's also a very personal appeal. You know, people obviously see the benefits of, you know, as a lawyer, will I have precedents at my fingertips? Can I do my presentations without notes? Can I look at a brief and pull out the important points and commit them to memory? But it's the same with any industry. But the great thing about the topic itself is people also realize, my God, I went to the grocery store. I needed three things. Half an hour later, I came out with four bags and I forgot the three things I went in there
for. Oh, yeah, that happens all the time. Yeah, you got to write them down.
Yeah, or if I could have back every minute I spent looking for my car keys or my cell phone, I mean, this would revolutionize my life. So a lot of people who get involved with my training do so ostensibly, you know, for professional reasons, but ultimately they're thinking, look, this is going to make me better in everything I do.
Of course. Yeah, I find that it's weird. There's some things that I remember, like sports. I'm into football. And these players just out of nowhere, I'll be like, oh, yeah, he went to, you know, University of Alabama. And they're like, how do you know that? I don't know. It just sticks in my head. Uh-huh. I see Roll Tide or whatever. But then I'm terrible. I shouldn't say this online, but I'm terrible with names.
Yeah.
I'm the lawyer who can't remember anybody's names. And I'm talking, Matt, in 4 minutes, I'll meet you at a cocktail party or networking event. Within 2 minutes, I'm like, what was that guy's name? I got to remember.
2 minutes is about the number. And listen, the names has kept me busy for 25 years.
Yeah, Andrew, that's like the biggest thing, right? Because as a salesperson, for example, you want to remember everybody's name. It makes, you know.
Everyone knows it's important. Everyone realizes the power that's involved with being able to grab a hold of people's names. But here's the point. When I teach, I say there's a training balance, especially with skills training. And this is a skill.
I mean, okay.
This is of course. This is an absolute skill, recalling information. The balance that needs to be struck is motivation, right? I want to remember people's names. And we've all had this instance where we go to a family reunion or a conference or an open house. I'm going to meet a lot of people. There's potential clients here. I want to remember their names.
Right.
Falls flat.
Because right, it's bouncing off your forehead. It never even makes it into your head.
Because you miss the balance here. The balance is motivation. Yes, I want to remember the names. Technique.
Right, you don't have the skill to do it.
How am I going to remember the names? So when I'm teaching people, I'm always keeping that balance in mind. Look, I'll ask people, how many people here want to remember? And everybody's hand goes up.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. And if that's all it took, I'd be out of a job. Right, Mitch?
You want to win the lottery. People buy tickets. Yeah. I mean, it's going
to
happen.
If all you had to do to remember is want to, everybody would.
Yeah.
The other half has to be, I want to remember my list of things to do. I want to do my presentations without notes. I'm going back to school. I want to be able to study and recall answers for tests. That's the motivation. Technique is what brings it all together. That's what brings fruit to that process.
Yeah, it seems that even with these like flashbulb memory studies, you know, where the people have horrific experiences, like, I don't know, where they were on 9/11 and when the Challenger blew up and when JFK Jr. died. I mean, all those types of things. Mm-hmm. And their memories are still not accurate. Like, right? I mean, they just have these experiences. They're like, Matt, well, remember we were getting coffee when the World Trade Center fell? You're like, what? I was in a thing in San Francisco. I was in New York. That was a different week. You're like, it was? Yeah. And you swear in your mind that that happened. And our minds are, it seems like, and obviously your technique kind of shuffle things, but I shouldn't say that. Your memory techniques don't organize your mind. They allow you to pull out the information that you're looking for. Is that correct?
Well, actually, no, organization is key.
Okay.
Here's the thing. If you want to be technical, I have a program called the Memory Switch.
Okay.
It's not a memory course. It's a recall course.
Okay.
Because the reality is this. Ultimately, you always remember.
Right. Things are in there.
It's it's all in there, Mitch, which is right. kind of scary. People say
it is kind of frightening.
My problem is I'm full to the brim. There's no more room.
Right.
Never, ever, ever happened. If you see it here, think about it, it's going somewhere. Memory has weight and takes up space. Memory's not vapor. I mean, it goes somewhere.
The problem for sure.
Isn't remembering, it's recalling when they need it.
Right. So, well, isn't that what they say about Alzheimer's? It's not that your mind, you're losing your memory. It's that the neurons or the connections are hardening and the information can't get through the pathways for you to the other part of your brain.
Absolutely. And there is actually a dying back.
Yeah.
Alzheimer's. And there's a whole bunch of pathology involved there. But the reality is people don't forget. They can't recall. And you've had the experience. You go and you say you're horrible with names. You're in ShopRite.
And I'm even like focused on it. I'm like, okay, this time I'm going to remember the name.
I
say it to myself three times or whatever. I got to like think of something really crazy to remember your name. Like, I don't know, an elephant sitting on your head or something like that. And then sometimes I'll recall it.
Yeah, well, or you know, you're in the ShopRite. You turn the corner and it's too late to duck. But this guy's walking towards you and you know him.
Right.
You know him.
Oh my God, it's happened to me so many times.
But the point is, you walk out to your car, you pop the trunk, start loading the groceries, and what pops into your head?
The guy's name.
Exactly. You didn't forget it. The problem you had was recalling when you need it. So my emphasis when I work with my clients is, what do you need to recall and how long you need to recall it? How are you going to handle this particular piece of information differently than what you just saw on a billboard, right? It's all going, but this you need. I need this. You know, I'm going to do this presentation before the jury. There are 12 important points I have to cover. Where am I going to put that stuff so it's there when I need it? It sounds mystical and magical. It's really not. It's real simple stuff. But, placement of information is really key.
So does any of your training or techniques help with recall that happens later on? Like, for example, you're a witness. You know, because something happened. It wasn't like you were saying, I'm going to remember that. You saw some guy get shot, whatever. And now they're trying to confuse you because that's their job on the stand as you're a character witness or a witness, to evidence or whatever it is. And your head seems like it's a box and everything's stuffed in the box. And by the way, it also seems to me like somehow over time you accumulate memories that are other people's memories. They're not really yours. Sure. Somebody tells the story enough and you start acquiring it like you believe it happened to you. Mm-hmm. That happens. So how do you avoid that kind of stuff?
Well, you know, here's the first off, the memory switch isn't really designed going backwards. You know, it's not about, you know, remembering.
Can't ritual. Fix what's in there already.
You know, it's the satanic ritual abuse of your past or anything.
Right.
We're not digging that stuff out.
Right.
This is pretty much designed. What do I need to recall? How long do I need to recall? I'm going into a meeting. These are 12 people.
Going forward.
I'll shake their hands. I remember their names. You know what? You talked about names and I keep coming back to it. If you walk into that deposition and there's 20 people there and you meet them all and you start using all of their names, you will be running that show in about 5 minutes. They won't even know why.
Right.
Because everybody else is just looking at the person thinking, now, was this Mitch or was this Eric?
They're too busy trying to figure everything out. You got everything going on.
And you're banging them out and you're using the names. And all of a sudden you're running that meeting. Your memory, great thing about it is when you have this type of memory, people think you're smart.
Right. You know. Well, that's why they think you're stupid the other way. Like, remember who was that reporter? Brian Williams. So you remember, it was about like 7-8 years ago, I think. Yeah. And he was on David Letterman, right? I just did something on this for the speech I was giving. And it was the 10th anniversary of this, supposedly, where he got shot down this helicopter, right? So with your techniques going forward, I realize not going backward, right? His mind was already confused.
Yeah.
And I think that if we recognize that happens, you wouldn't hold the guy to the fact that he lied to the American people. He didn't lie. He told what he thought was the truth.
Yeah, he really didn't.
Who would do that? There's no benefit to him to lying.
No. And if he realized the road he was going to go down by doing so, I'm sure he would have been a little bit more circumspect.
Of course. But he believed in his mind that happened to him.
Yeah. And what the brain does, it's a specific syndrome that it fills in the blanks.
Right.
So, you know, someone will say, well, what was happening here? And you didn't see what was happening there.
Right.
But 10 years later, oh, you know what? Come to think of it, And you do, you fill in the blanks, and it's as real can be.
Right.
It's not a memory. Yeah. I'm very specific in my approach. What do you need to recall? How long you need to recall it? You know, the great thing in business is, look, taking notes, there's a time and a place for that. And I talk about it in Memory Switch. And if someone's giving you technical information, by all means, write it down. Make sure you have the time to do so.
Right.
But the great thing about business, I very seldom take notes when I'm working with a client, because within parameters, I'm asking specific questions. And within certain parameters, I'm getting specific answers.
Right.
That type of information is very easy to recall.
Right.
So what opportunities does that give me? I can look them in the eye. I can watch their body language. When they get excited, I get excited. When I look, if I say to them, do you agree with me? And they say, you know, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, you know, they're not agreeing with
you. See, if you're scribbling, you miss that.
Right. Now you can watch body language. That's why often if you're doing something with a partner, it's better because one person can take notes, the other person can watch.
Exactly. So, and again, now when they leave my office, do I write it down? Absolutely. And I add to it.
Of course.
But when they're due back, the information's here. So I said, God, Mitch, you were here and you asked about this and this and this and this. And they're thinking, oh my God, this guy's been sleeping, eating and breathing my business for the last 2 weeks.
Right.
And all I did was have some information at my fingertips. It's
right.
You know, people ask me, are you a genius? You know what I tell them?
Yes, I am. Now, but you, so you, as and I was telling you before, I talk a lot about the written word in business, meaning, sure. You know, you can't be doing contracts on a handshake and think you're both going to remember. First of all, even if they have your memory techniques, the other guy probably doesn't. But
just so you know, I read a good deal of what you sent me.
Yeah.
Wonderful stuff.
I appreciate it. Well, that's why I asked for your input on the book, because like I said, the way our minds work, look, you can help people going forward with improving their memories. Mm-hmm. You can't eliminate the need for contracts, and you certainly can't fix what went, you know, going backwards. Mm-hmm. So it's really the way the law treats us and expects us to have perfect memories. And we don't, even with, right. Even with improvement techniques,
it's
never going to be perfect.
Sure.
Right.
Not perfect, but a whole lot better.
Oh, well, sure. The more you practice it, the better you get, right?
You know, even for arguing, you know, with what you do, this guy's coming at you, the spit's flying, and it's
heat. Yeah, the more flustered you get, the more problems you have with your mind, right?
Exactly. But if you can, if you can respond to what they just said point for point, because you have the information here and you didn't let it go in one ear and out the other, or you weren't spending too much time thinking, what am I going to say next?
Right.
It makes you a more effective debater. It makes you more effective in arguments. It makes you, better at negotiating.
Sure.
Because, you said this, you said this, you said this. Here's how I'm going to respond to this point. I don't think this point makes any difference whatsoever. Again, it just gives you a command of the material, and it makes you look more accomplished.
Okay, so let's talk then a little bit about the kind of things. Well, first, let's talk about if somebody takes a course with you or goes through your course, what can they expect to improve on or learn how to improve on?
Yeah.
We've said names, but
I have a couple different offerings. Listen, you know, one thing that this pandemic has done is flattened my tires quite a bit when it comes to business. I'm a speaker. I'm a conference speaker.
Right.
Most of my groups are, you know, I'm in ballrooms and conference centers with hundreds or thousands of people.
Right. And it's hard on Zoom. You're working the room, right? You're walking around, talking to people. Yeah.
Exactly. I'm shaking hands. I'm remembering names. I'm doing presentations. I'm doing demonstrations.
Right.
When this pandemic thing hit, I had a year's schedule just fall out.
Screeching halt.
I've been bulletproof for over 25 years. Downs, downturns.
No, because it's an interesting topic. Everybody's looking for, right? Yeah, I would think it would be.
When people are slow, they want to improve. When people are improved, they realize they have to get better, you know. But this thing really put a damper on my main core business, which is speaking.
Right.
I've been doing a lot of virtual stuff.
You were able to do virtual stuff?
It's
not as effective.
It's not what I like to do because I can't. I like to see the people. I like to
see
the people. I like to demonstrate. The demonstrations that I do of what can be done with a trained memory just aren't as effective virtually because people don't realize, well, is he really doing that or is he,
Maybe he has a list of the participants.
Exactly.
Right.
So But what I can do, and what I realized was the most effective, is ultimately people want to see themselves improve. So when I do a virtual presentation, I take them through a module from my memory switch program.
Okay.
I it's real simple. I call out a list of words to them. I say, do the best you can to recall a list in the order in which I call them out. Most people can do maybe one or two. I take them through a module for my program, and in 10 minutes or so, they have the list of words forwards, backwards, in and out of order, and they think they're an absolute wizard. It's when I say I watch people succeed every single day, that's what I mean. You can see almost instant results with even a small amount of training. So in my virtual programs, that's ultimately what they're all about. Let's in an hour's worth of time, which is generally what I fits good into people's schedules and gives me enough time. I can give them a quick overview. Why do you need this training? Why is it important? How is it going to make you more effective? And let's watch ourselves improve right now.
Here's a word from our sponsors. Uplift your marketing and reinforce your brand with a digital business card from Digital Accelerant. Use a text marketing combination to stand out in front of your competition. Digital business cards make you memorable and most of all help you bring in new business through its warm lead generator. Motion graphics, intro, outro, and inspirational videos can be added during setup. Text the word LAW to 21000. That's LAW to 21000 to learn how to get your own digital business card. Suffering from slow internet speed? Worried about hackers? Fetch Pro gets the internet from your smartphone to your Windows and Mac computer without paying for a hotspot. Always get the fastest, most stable, and secure internet access on your computer with Fetch Pro. Follow their affiliate link on our website to learn more and get connected with Fetch. Printify is the online service that simplifies and automates the process of sourcing and creating print-on-demand products branded with your company logo, product, or service. Printify is a better alternative to pre-purchasing and warehousing your merchandise for distribution or sale. Follow their link from our website to learn how to set up your own online store. And be sure to visit our online store and get yourself some podcast merch. Follow the link in the show notes to learn more about all of our sponsors. And now back to our show.
And that's really kind of the wow factor in what I do. And
yeah.
Ultimately, I do a lot of CLE training. I work with a lot of lawyers. I work with a lot of, very high powered type people. And it doesn't matter if it's a CEO of a major company or, I just worked with a NAFA group, insurance group.
Uh-huh. Sure.
They see themselves do this and they're absolutely amazed at what they were capable of doing.
Right.
And that's, you know what?
Yeah, because some people just say, oh, no, I just don't have a good memory. But that's not true.
It's not true. No. And what I'm trying to recreate actually is what I experienced 25 years ago when I sat down in that workshop and said, oh, my God, I can't believe I just did that.
Right.
I can't believe my memory's fine. I got to learn a better way to use it.
All right. So we got about maybe 20 minutes or so. So mm-hmm. I'm your specimen, let's say, right? We know I'm terrible at names.
Okay.
What kind of tips do you have for me to, besides Listen, hypnotizing me?
Real simple.
Okay.
Very few cure-alls in life, very few.
Very few.
But what I'm going to do, I'll give you two quick suggestions on a better, more effective way to shake a hand and remember a name.
Okay.
Now, my memory switch program, it's a 6
Might be a long time till I can shake hands again.
Yeah, exactly. That's another thing that is bugging me.
Yeah, because that's one of the techniques, right?
I'm shaking the hand. I want to meet the people. Not
yeah.
Those, I mean,
it sucks. They'll be like, remember 150 years ago, we used to shake hands. I know that's not a custom anymore. That's what it'll be like someday. Well, that's weird, Dad. We don't shake people's hands. You get sick that way. What? Yeah. Right. This is my, let's hope it's not like that.
It's a brave new world. Yeah.
Right.
I hope it goes back to normal.
Yeah.
But two quick hints. First off, when it comes to names, you're not alone. 85% of people will forget a person's name in the first 2 minutes, right?
Okay.
What we're talking basically nine
That doesn't
out of
make
10,
me feel any better, Matt.
9 out of 10 breaks the name. Yeah, misery loves company.
Though. Right. Yeah. I'm like, oh, great. So I'm stupid like everyone else in the country. Okay.
But the handshake breaks, the name's gone.
Okay.
Remember switch, like I said, it's a 6-step approach that I take people through. I actually, you know, I'm in the personal improvement industry and I've worked with a lot of great speakers, motivational people for the most part.
Yeah.
Great at what they do. But one thing they really can't do is they can't guarantee results.
Right.
Right. I'm doing skills training. So my memory switch program, I'm actually able to guarantee results. And one of the things is you will be able to walk into a room, meet 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 people or more, shake their hands, remember their names. Okay. For most people, that's the cost of admission. I'll do it. If that's all I learned how to do, that would be worthwhile.
Right.
Two quick hits. Okay. First of all, focus. Okay. Now I know people are saying, well, of course, when you're meeting for the person for the first time, you want to focus. But if you do the bubble over the head thing, when most people are meeting someone, it goes something like this. Hey, your name is Mitch. Hey, gosh, Mitch, it looks like you have great windows in the background there. You know, I don't think I'd be able to deal with, you know, having an office that didn't have great windows. You know, you could probably grow plants with those windows too. I don't know if it's a southern exposure, but it really is pretty nice. You're doing everything in the world.
Right. You're just all distracted.
Except the name. Or what am I going to say next? I hope my hands aren't too sweaty, right? You're doing everything in the world except actually listening for the name. So as simple as it sounds, it's absolutely key. Slow down, focus. Okay, let's go meet this person. Next thing is repeat, repeat, repeat.
Right, I've heard that before. Right, yeah. Repeat
and,
the name.
And listen. So what do I mean by that? Well, there's two ways you can handle this. My name's Matthew. Your name, Mitch. Mitchy, Mitch.
They go, what the hell is wrong with that guy? Right.
Just so you're clear on that. Better. My name's Matthew. Your name, Mitch. Mitch, I understand you practice law. Oh, you do corporate stuff? Mitch, you know, I know you're writing a book about the mistakes that you can make when you're doing this sort of stuff. If you could give me one key, Mitch, what do you think it would be? So what did I do?
Said my name three times.
About five times.
True. Click my heels together. And then, So now you're burning it into your head.
No weirdness, no Mitch.
Right.
Use the name in conversation. This does two things. One, it's neuromuscular. When you speak, your vocal cords vibrate. Those vibrations hit your hard palate and directly stimulate your mind and your memory. Speaking the information will put it in your memory. Two, and this tends more to the interpersonal aspect of this whole thing.
Right.
You know, forgetting a person's name isn't just like a memory lapse. It's a faux pas. It's an interpersonal thing.
Oh, it's very uncomfortable. I run into people all the time. And they'll be like, hey, Mitch. I'll be like, hey, good to see you. Like, I don't, you know, like, I'll be like, I think his name's Matt, but I don't trust myself. And I'm going to look like an idiot if I call him Randy.
So it's an interpersonal thing. So with this technique, focus and repeat, you're doing two things. One, you're grabbing a hold of the person's name. Two, what Dale Carnegie, sweetest sound to the person, to a person is their own name. Sweetest sound in the English language to a person.
It builds rapport just by saying your name. That's why good salespeople say that your name a lot.
Exactly. So you're letting them hear the name and you're also letting them talk about their favorite subject, which is themselves.
Yeah. Well, of course. You ever do that? You go to a meeting and you don't talk. You let everyone else talk.
Absolutely.
And then they say, boy, that Mitch, man, that was a great conversation. He was just fantastic. You're like, really?
And all he did was shut his mouth, which is a very powerful.
A lot to be said for that. Okay.
So focus and repeat. If that is all you do, you'll find yourself in the top 15% of the population. If you do it correctly, you should be able to handle a dozen names, no problem.
Okay.
Now, to walk into a room like I will routinely do, meet 50, 60, 100 people, shake their hands, remember their names, there's some technique there. That goes to the whole filing. And
so you can do that. You can go into a room with 100 people and remember, and not knowing any of them.
Not knowing.
And know all their names when you leave.
Sure. If I have the opportunity to actually meet them and shake their hand, absolutely.
Then how long do you have to shake their hand? Because you're training, right? You're obviously trained at a very high level. How long does it take to get through 100 people where you can remember their names?
Well, the actual, hi, my name is Matthew. Your name.
Right. You're meeting everybody, shaking their hand. Hi.
Well, yeah. Using the name. Now, again, like any other skill, proficiency comes as you begin to apply.
Of course.
So there's this learning curve where you're consciously competent. I can shake hands, remember names. I got to think about what I'm doing. Ultimately, what you're working towards with a lot of my memory switch techniques is the fourth level, which is unconscious competence.
Right. You're just so used to doing it.
I'm good at names.
Only way you operate. Yeah.
But you know what? You brought that up earlier, Mitch. You said statistics and sports. You're just good at it.
Yeah. I don't know why.
You don't know how or why. You just, but here's the point. when I asked that.
Not even statistics. I just remember what team they played for in college. I have no idea why. And phone numbers. You know why I remember phone numbers? I have trouble now because I used to remember the shape that the numbers would make on the keypad.
Yeah.
And there's no fucking keypad anymore. So it's killing me. So I don't remember numbers like I used to. I used to remember phone numbers. That's how I would do
it. Up, down, down,
over. Because we're visual. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And, but here's the thing. When I ask a group, typically, how many people here are good right now remembering certain things? Every hand goes up.
Yeah. Well, there's always something you remember, right?
So here's the point. Memory switch says we can actually take the strength you have and begin to apply it where you're weak. In other words, if you're good at this type of information, you know, if you think about this, one of the things I teach you is how to translate information. Okay. So in other words, I don't like this stuff. It's like, hey, Mitch, here you go. Oh, no, not that stuff. I hate that stuff.
Right. And that's why,
Can we recreate this information? Can we put it in a format more palatable for our own personal skills? Well, it turns out with a little bit of training, absolutely. So all of a sudden, this schematic that I normally would have a problem with, I don't have a problem with because I turned it into that and that works fine for me. Right. So strengths and weaknesses. You know, the main strength that we all have when it comes to memory is we're visual. People remember the things that they see.
Yeah, that's why the phone works, right? Because I could see the visual pattern.
So if you can remember things that you see, what I want to teach you is how do you start to see the things you want to remember? And that's absolutely key. You know, you become an eyewitness to the information. I saw the information. I didn't just hear it.
Right.
I didn't just read it. I actually saw it. And that's absolutely key.
You know, that might be why I remember the teams that the NFL players played for in college, because I tend to see their colors and their team. And I associate when I see them with, it just pops out of my head. I don't know what it is. And usually I'm right. Yeah. 9 times out of 10, you know, so.
But again, you don't know how or why. This is where I have the names.
It's not like I don't like names. It's just that now I think I'm so concerned that I'm not going to remember their names that I don't remember them.
Well, it's funny. You know, I just mentioned translating information. One of the main problems with names is names are total abstractions.
There's no picture or, right?
You know, your name isn't Mitch because you look like a Mitch. Wouldn't that make life so much easier?
Yeah, what does that look like? Exactly.
Here comes a Harry.
Right. Harry looks like bananas all the time. You would remember Harry.
So one of the things I'm going to teach you is how do you take this abstract information
and
turn it into something your brain can deal with more effectively? Look, again.
So what do you have to do? Attach like a picture to the name? You got to pick a picture every time though, right?
Your brain's doing it anyway. All I'm going to show you.
Yeah, you're right. Because everything gets translated into photographs. That's the problem with the name, right? Your brain can't take the name and translate it into a photograph
It doesn't see a name.
Right.
It's a sound.
Right.
You know, we're talking on a computer, you know, and you know what a computer looks like, right? But if it's a Mitch or a Matt or a Barbara, what does that look like exactly? So that's where we put the emphasis. And again, then once you get back to that, what do you need to recall and how long you need to recall it? Look, I'll teach you how to walk into a party, meet 25 people, shake their hands, remember all their names, walk out of the party, 23 of the 25, But this one couple said, corporate law, really? Man, we're in the middle of some deep stuff right now. We're looking for someone with your
expertise. Well, obviously, now you have a connection. Or you know what I find? If you find them attractive, if you think that they're attractive, like some beautiful woman walks in the room, of course, I'm going to remember her name. It just seems because you have this picture in your head now.
That deals with focus. Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Right. I mean, big time.
Where you're putting your focus. But you know what? One of the things I always hear from people is, well, I remember if it's important to me. And I always follow that up with, well, you ever lock yourself out of the house? Yeah. Forget your car keys.
That's important to you.
Left your son or daughter at soccer practice. Okay. I get it. So look, motivation and technique, doesn't matter if it's important or if you want to.
Yeah.
How am I going to handle this information differently? And that's what training is all about. Not tough stuff, not rocket science. You know, my memory switch program, kids as young as 7 and adults into their 90s go through the same program.
Even when you're in your 90s, huh?
Skills training is generic. Whether you're 7 or 70, I'm going to teach you how to swim the same way. Same with memory training. You know what? You get kids. One of my pet peeves is to get, you have kids, Mitch?
I have 3 kids. Yeah.
To get
I think so. Maybe I have more and I can't remember.
I have two wonderful children and then this other one.
Right, exactly. I have two wonderful kids and the third kid. Some comedian says that, right? But yeah, I have a son in college, in the middle of college. I have a daughter who's in her senior year, and the little one's a freshman now in high school.
Here's a pet peeve. To get A's on tests and good grades in school, you need one skill. What is it? Memory.
Yeah, memory. Pretty much, yeah.
And it's not taught.
Taught, right.
When I deal with students, you know, teachers will say, well, it isn't all memory. Nah, it's only about 99% memory. In other words,
if you can, let's say we all had photographic memories, right? Then you could just literally go to the page that showed how to do the problem, whatever it is, and just do it.
Sure. Yeah. Or look, the times tables. My daughter Jeanette used to teach fourth grade. It shouldn't take a semester to learn the times tables.
Right.
It took about half an hour.
Could you imagine that if we taught memory, if these kids in middle school and high school or even elementary school learn techniques to improve their memory, their grades would soar.
Yeah, and I've worked for years to get into the public school system. It's like beating your head against the wall.
Yeah.
But when I've worked privately, or when I've had teachers who've gotten a hold of this, or when I've had parents who said, why shouldn't my child have this advantage? These kids take off. Because again, if you can recall answers for tests, times tables, spelling, dates for history, a new French vocabulary word, a calculus equation, this is all memory.
Yeah,
all memory. You know, like, here, go memorize this. And some kids can and some kids don't. They use the rote method, which is totally ineffective.
Right.
You know, it's very short term. It's very boring and it's very time.
Boring doesn't help memory.
From a time standpoint.
Right.
To be able to get the information they need, put it in their memory and have it available to them when they need it. There's no test anxiety when you're walking in knowing the information is there as opposed to hoping.
Right. No, that was my whole life, hoping. Yeah. Even mechanical things like math and science, most of it's memorizing formulas and stuff.
Hey, you went to law school. How much of it was just pure brain busting, got to remember a whole bunch of stuff? You know,
always. Yeah. Because you got to remember precedents and then you argue your case based on the information you have in front of you.
I work with a lot of pre-med, pre-law, pre-nursing students. It all comes up. Anatomy and physiology. A book this fat, go memorize it. Right.
So, you know, the only bar, it must be other bars, but locally, Pennsylvania does not require that you remember the actual statute when you're arguing an essay on the bar exam. So if you state that the Penal Code 2722 says that you can't walk down the street backwards while you're chewing gum, and that's what this guy did, then you just cite it and you say, and according to that statute, he did that. They just want to see that you're arguing it correctly. They figured, which is the white way it should be done, right? Well, when you're a lawyer, you're going to look it up.
Right.
You can't be expected to remember the law.
It's written down. Yeah.
Yeah. The other states.
I work with a lot of bar associations and lawyers just love this stuff because practical advantage of having a better memory in law is just, I mean, it's just obvious.
You know, I'm admitted in New Jersey. I didn't take the New York bar. I took Pennsylvania because New York had potentially 22. Well, actually there's six multi-states, so 22. So 28 topics that they could choose from to do an essay, to do your essays. So you'd have to memorize and learn 20. I'm like, I'm not going to do this. I'm not even sure I'm going to practice law. I didn't know what I was going to do with my life. So I didn't do it. Now I can wave in if I have to, but I'm not doing that. Yeah. I mean, it's stupid. That's just dumb.
Yeah. So from an educational standpoint, yeah, I wish I had this when I was going to school. I limited myself. And when I look back, I couldn't handle medicine. What I was really saying is I can't remember all that stuff. I'd never be able to remember.
Oh my God. If you had these techniques, we could have both been doctors.
Exactly. Doctor.
Although I didn't have the stomach for all the, I think I signed up for the first aid squad and I didn't make it past the first call. I didn't do well. It wasn't a memory thing. It was definitely a stomach thing.
People are going to be bleeding. Oh my God.
Yeah. Ugh. Especially if it's my blood. I think my wife is half Italian and half Jewish. Uh-huh. So when she got pregnant with her first son, I think they took like 22 vials of blood. I swear it was so much blood that the woman had to carry it was so many vials. I was like, I got to go for a walk. I was like, they're going to pass out. And they're like, you're going to pass out. You're 6 foot. Your poor wife. You're not giving the blood. She's giving the blood. I'm like, it's okay. Not too good with this stuff. So yeah. And that's not good. But I just find it not fascinating. I find it frustrating. And maybe we'll stay friends and I'll get a better memory over time. I find it, and I'm going to definitely take to heart what you said. And then maybe by the time this episode comes out, I'll put a commentary on here that my memory's improved. But I find it frustrating that we are expected to remember things a certain way and we're not taught how to do it. It's like saying, you know, I mean, come on, everybody knows calculus. Like, I don't know calculus. I didn't want to take calculus, you know? And you're like expected to know it. So I think it's very difficult, like in business, because you read the book, right? Or the manuscript, whatever condition it's in now. And I am in constant situations where people just, they don't write things down. They don't take it to heart that they realize that, sure, you can improve your memory in terms of remembering things and meeting people and all that kind of stuff. But you have to put your business processes, your agreements in writing. Because a judge isn't going to believe you anyway, even if you say, no, I've been trained. I have a perfect memory. This is what we talked about. And the other guy says, no, it's not. Doesn't matter what you can remember. Yeah. So I think it's very frustrating.
Yeah. You know, even what I read in the manuscript that you sent me, it's pretty obvious. You need to do this professionally. You need to do this correctly.
Oh, and yeah.
Right. You don't want to be arguing something later on. He said, she said, you said, they said.
I agree.
Yeah, yeah.
I get people to come to me, Matt, and they're lawyers. Like, they're not practicing lawyers. They're in business or whatever. Sure. And they did their own agreement. And it's missing all kinds of things. Or they said, listen, I mean, he sent me a text message and he told me that he'd pay me this time. I go, yeah, but that doesn't leave the fact that he might say, but no, but do you remember that phone call we had 2 weeks after I sent you this text message and you said that I could do this and this? You're like, no, you didn't. Now, maybe you did, but you can't remember it. So you can imagine what a judge who is also not trained in memory and doesn't understand how the mind works is going to do with this text messages and emails and he said and she said, and it makes for great, great court cases.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. And listen, I tell people say, well, I get rid of my smartphone. I don't have to write anything down. I say, absolutely not. That's not what this is all about.
Right.
When are you going to be more effective using your memory? You know, I write things down by all means. Now, if someone, you know, gives me a phone number, I memorize it long enough to put it in my contacts. That just makes
sense. Because you don't want the pressure to just keep memorizing things.
You know, people will ask me, well, you met 150 people. You remembered all their names. How long are you going to remember the names?
Yeah. How long? That's a good question.
I'll say, well, if I met you a week from now, I'd probably remember your name, but I'm pretty good at this. Am I trying to remember your names forever? I'm just not.
No, because long term, you're filling it with more stuff on top of stuff and more information. You can't.
What do you need to recall and how long you need to recall? What's important to you? Which of those 150 names, which two names are you going to remember? That's the key here. Which names are you going to run into at the conference next week? You know you're going to see them again. Those are the ones that you want to concentrate on. So, you know, when people say, well, so this is a conscious choice of what you want to recall. This isn't about remembering everything forever. No, when I'm talking about placement of information, it's person just rattle on for 20 minutes, but they said two things that I need to remember. How do I handle, what am I going to do differently with those two things so that I can bring them up later on when I need them? So, memory.
So you're like tagging that memory with something that allows you to recall it.
You're placing it. So when you're done with memory switch, the main way I reach people is a home study version of the course I teach. It's called the memory switch. I do live training. I do a great 1 hour program. I do a great half day training. A lot of fun. It's a hoot. I like doing things personally. But I realized a while back, I can only be in so many places.
Of course. So people can buy your program off of your website.
I developed a home
study. We'll put a link to the group in the show.
A home study version of the course I teach. It's called the Memory Switch. It's what they've seen on TV and heard on the radio. It's 10 hours of material, 17, 20 to 30 minute lessons. Very user-friendly. Most of it's on a flash drive. You plug it in, you listen and learn, right? There's a workbook that you're doing your exercises and drills with. But I touched on earlier, specific guarantees, 300% increase in recall capability forever. You won't lose that. Because once.
Okay. How do you measure that?
Like any other skill, you're tested. I mean, you're actually going through testing. You're seeing yourself improve. The reason I say it's permanent is, again, skills training. You may not have ridden a bike in 20 years, but if you realize the only way to get to the hospital in 10 minutes is to get on this bike and ride, you'd get on.
You'd remember real quick driving a stick. I haven't done it in years, but I'm sure within 2 minutes I'd figure it out.
Came to shove, that skill would come back to you.
Right.
300%.
Well, 300% would be like if you remember 10 items, right? Now you can remember 30 items.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Incidentally, kids, 400 to 700% is average. They don't have the same bad habits we do. They don't have the preconceived notion.
So they're much easier to quote unquote fix.
Yeah. Yeah. So 300% increase in recall capability, be able to handle 25, 30, 40, 50 items, hear them once, give them back forwards, backwards, in and out of order, be able to do your presentations without notes.
Right.
So at one point or another, you
increases a lot of credibility. Yeah.
Oh my God. Salespeople, lawyers, finance people, a whole bunch of stuff. You know, you sit in a meeting, you work your head off to sit in front of a client or contact, you present yourself and your services, they're walking away. What's the first thing you're thinking? Shoot, forgot to tell them that. Oh, I didn't bring that up.
So right.
How do you do your presentations without notes?
Yeah, you're looking at your notes going, oh, I forgot that whole card.
Yeah, can I get them on the phone?
Right.
Yeah. So a week later, you're telling them on the phone what you had an opportunity to tell them face-to-face, how to do your presentations without notes. And lastly, names. You'll be able to walk into a room, meet 20, 30, 40, 50 people or more, shake their hands, remember their names. That's the skill that's kept me busy for years and years. It's just a killer app.
Right.
It makes you the person who everyone wants to stand next to at parties and functions, you know, because
it's like being the magician.
Oh gosh. You know,
yeah.
It's like, and I tell people, you got a choice. You can be the black hole or the steel trap. What do you want to be known as? You know?
Well, it just shows you why doing things at an event to make yourself memorable are so important.
Absolutely.
Because people won't remember you.
If you walk into a room, meet 25, 30 people, shake their hands, use everybody's names. An hour later, on the way out, everyone else is saying goodbye. See you. Bye-bye. Nice to have met you. They don't know one person. But you're walking saying, Mitch, pleasure to meet you. Matt, see you again soon. Steve, it really was a pleasure. Who's the one person in that room everyone will remember?
Yeah, absolutely.
Showed a genuine interest, concern. Remembered you gave them the sweetest sound of their ear, their own name. But more importantly, from a business standpoint, you actually just obligated 25 people to remember you by doing
right.
What? You remember them first.
Yeah.
In business, where having people know who you are, what you do for a living is important, where referrals and first impressions are critical, that one skill, that makes you stand out. That'll make you more successful.
Yeah, there's a guy in my office, one of the new guys, and he always says my name. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, damn, I can't remember his name. So I went, I dug through some stuff. I texted the woman at the front and I got his name. But I didn't remember it the first three times she told me. So,
but everyone, one thing everyone wants to tell me when they meet me is, I know this guy who can.
Right.
And it was a teacher in school. It was a guy I used to work for. It was the president.
But they can't remember his name. Right. That happens to me all the time. I'll be like, oh no, I met a guy who does this, this, and this. Like, let's use a magician, for example, right? So I go to a bar mitzvah, wedding, whatever. Mm-hmm. And nowadays they have all these close-up magicians all over the place. And some of these kids are spectacular.
Yeah.
Right. There's a guy who comes to our graduation, you know, bash or whatever it is, grad night. Mm-hmm. And he comes every year. He drives all the way from Penn State. He's more our age, right?
Mm-hmm.
The guy's unbelievable. I mean, he fools these kids like they're standing right behind him, and the things he does are unbelievable. I don't know his name. Four times. Don't know his name.
But here's the thing. Everyone will come up to me and say, I know this guy. He was a teacher I had. He could meet everyone in class, remember everybody's name. Or I work for this guy. He had 500 employees. He knew every single one of them. Everybody remembers that person.
Yep. That's true.
Because he's developed a skill. And it's a standout skill. It makes people notice you. So yeah, absolutely.
If you like the podcast, please tell others about us. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, on Amazon Music, and many of the other podcast directories. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review and feel free to share our episodes on social media. If you have any questions or comments, ideas for the show, or you'd even like to appear as a guest, reach out to us by email at info@beinhackerlaw.com. The Accidental Entrepreneur is hosted and produced by me, Mitch Beinhacker. If you'd like more information about my legal services, you can find me on social media or visit my website at beinhackerlaw.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to our feed to be notified of all future episodes.